ladies and gentlemen.
You are now tuned in to Mastering Mitzvahs.
Mastering Mitzvahs.
A podcast focused on creating the perfect bar and bat mitzvah celebration, offering tips, tricks, and trends to ensure an amazing event. Mastering Mitzvahs. From New Jersey's own Explosive Entertainment.
Explosive Entertainment.
I know you're gonna dig this.
And here they are, your hosts, Dylan Weissman and Mike Langzer.
Yep. Hey, we're back. It's been two solid months. Dylan, believe it or not, it was August 30th was our last episode. And I remember I was sitting outside in the sun. We had our friend Michael Siegel from Boston on. And now it's 30 degrees out, and we're officially in the fall at New Jersey.
It's so funny. Today the long-awaited Halloween episode is here, but I have my Christmas holiday Starbucks cup from this morning.
We do rush our seasons intensely. My daughter is adamant that we put up the Christmas tree. I mean, like, literally on the way home from trick-or-treating, she was saying it's time. And my wife, of course, agrees, and I say, you go up in the attic and get the tree.
I agree. I think that you should.
All right. Well, you could start the trend.
I am pretty sure I've seen a few industry people put up, like, holiday decorations already.
So that wasn't the purpose of our topic today, but oh boy, I sure hope we get a couple more episodes in from now before the holidays. What do you think? Can we make this happen?
I'd love to. A lot has changed since our last episode. We got a new baby at home, a new explosive baby.
Congratulations. Why don't you share some, name and
and
has wife and all.
Wife is good. Baby shy is good. And we're moving along here. We just got done our 2-week appointment. So no sleep, but we're doing okay.
Either I don't see the bags under your eyes today that I saw a couple of days ago, or you're hiding it well with some glam filter on your podcast.
You know what? These cameras are real good. These cameras are real good.
Dylan, let's get right into it. I was excited for today's topic because it is very relevant with Halloween. Now, we're not necessarily going to talk about Halloween, but we're going to have a little game sort of episode, or in your world, we call it gamify. So we're going to gamify this podcast, and we're going to call it Mitzvahs, Tricks, or Treats. And the vision that I have here is basically we've got a bunch of things we're going to talk about. We're going to give it like 60 seconds each, and we're going to talk about, is it a treat for a party to have these things? Is it a good thing? Or is it tricky to have these certain elements? Let's practice on this first one, and we're going to use swag, I wrote down, as our first topic. But, you know, in your opinion, is it a trick or a treat to have swag? And I'm going to almost put in parentheses too much swag.
Yeah.
Apart.
The key there is too much swag when it becomes just like a shopping mall for kids. And that's a trick. I think that you can get lost in the sauce a little bit when it comes to that stuff. And what you don't want to see happen is that people lose sight of why they're there. I know that your bar bat mitzvah, your guest of honor, is going to be real excited to give out stuff with their branding on it, because everything is about the brand these days. But I really would urge you to realize that as the person who's running the event, it is very tricky to navigate a serious amount of it. When you get to like 50 plus pieces, and we're seeing like 100 plus pieces of this stuff, 60 sweatshirts and 50 sweatpants and slippers and all this stuff, I think it's a trick. I don't think that helps a party anymore.
Yeah. I know we've talked about most of these items that we're going to talk about today in various points through our 124 previous episodes, but swag is a hot topic today. And man, there's so many things. You know, first off, where do you put it all? Like that is one problem. Like, where do you put it all? The DJ booth facade is only so big. Even when we bring extra facade, if the venue has enough room for it, where's it all go? So then maybe it gets stored in another room, in a closet somewhere. It is so hard to navigate keeping track of it all, handing it all out. And in doing that, here's a huge caveat. You know, if you are a smaller party and you only have potentially two or three dancers, imagine if one or two of them are busy the whole night, literally going back and forth from another room trying to manage this swag. It's become very problematic. You have lost a dancer and therefore lost that momentum that the dancer brings to the...
That's right. You almost need like a swag representative, like a person dedicated to the swag if you're going to have that much of it. And when we talk about swag, we're talking about like the branded hats, glasses, necklaces, the branded sweatpants and pajama pants. We're not talking about the easy stuff to give away. We're talking about the big cumbersome stuff.
Yeah. So I know we want to talk about 60 seconds each topic, but I'm going to end it on this one thing here. Let's do some very simple math. If a party is 5 hours, a typical party, and the first hour is cocktail hour, where there really is no swag being given out, then there's about an hour of formality altogether between candlelight and Kiddush Mochi Hora, you know. So that leaves 3 hours. Now, Dylan, you said maybe 50 pieces is correct. If we're giving out 50 items within 3 hours, that's basically like 12 and a half items per hour. That's a lot. You know, like, I mean, what does that come out to? One item every 6 minutes we're tossing out, if I'm doing my math quickly enough?
It's too much. It's a trick. It's a trick.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's move on. I think it's a good good way for us to open up this podcast on that topic. So
I want to do one that you didn't put on this list. So are montages a trick or a treat?
Depends who you're asking. Is it the person that's making them or is it the people who are watching them?
I think when all said and done, when you have an event with a montage, I think it's a treat. I think kids like seeing the pictures of their friends and themselves. And I think the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles and the cousins like to see the growing up. I think that it's a treat. I do. I think that it's a nice change of pace when done correctly. And I think that a montage adds a dynamic element to an event. And I think it's a treat.
I agree 100%. And you said when done correctly. And I want to emphasize that moment and just say, when done correctly means not 18 minutes long, not in a boring fashion where all the transitions are the same and the song selection is kind of lame. Like when a montage is exciting, I absolutely think it's a treat. It's fun for the audience. It's a great remembrance for the family of all the fun times that they had together. And it becomes a time capsule, really, you know, like, imagine going back 20, 30 years later and rewatching that. So I do agree. I say treat most definitely.
All right. What's your next one?
In the sales process, sometimes we hear, I don't need dancers. So.
Okay. So let's frame that for a second before we give you trick or treat. So framing that to me is like, we don't need dancers because we don't see any value in them. We're a dancing crowd. We aren't having a lot of people. Like, all of those are different reasons that I've heard that of the reasons that you don't need dancers. And I think that it is an absolute trick in that capacity, because in every style of event, you can benefit from having more people who care about your event in a way that is meaningful. You can never have too many people who care. And our team is trained to care. And I think most high-end dancers are trained to care. They're not just there for show. They're there to elevate your event. And I think that if you don't have them, it's a trick.
Dylan, here's a great analogy that I don't believe we've ever used, but could you ever imagine a client saying to a venue, I don't need as many waiters or waitresses as you plan on sending?
Yeah, to save a dollar. I mean, I've heard that before.
Oh, so yeah, I haven't. Like,
I have. I've heard that, like, you know, for example, in my own wedding, they were recommending a certain amount of bartenders. And I actually said, I want more bartenders. And my wedding coordinator was saying to me, like, wow, you're the first person to ever say that. Normally we get the opposite. Normally we say, you know, our clients are saying we want to save the couple hundred dollars to not have a bartender there. And I think that you're setting yourself up for failure. I think it's an absolute trick. And I think it becomes harder to navigate.
there is a success formula that a venue has on the number of staff that they need to be successful and deliver good service. And we have that same formula in our place of how many dancers are needed based on the size of the party, the scope of the party. And the dancers, I hate the term dancers because they do so much more, but they are a huge piece of that success formula for every ounce of setting up the event to ensuring its success to, you know, managing the flow. And you know, a couple dancers kind of get lost in a crowd when there's no stages and everybody's the same height, you know, and they could get lost in a crowd. So the more dancers you have, the more visible they are and the more energy they're exuding into the office.
Yeah, they're an extension of your message. And if the message is to party and dance, then that's an extension of your message. If the message is to have a simple and elegant affair, it allows that group to be that way because you have more people trying to do it for you. And then the last version of it is if you're gonna have games and contests, you need that help. You need that help to run them. I think that when they're trained well and they're not just there to stand around, like a lot of dancers are trained to do, ours are not. And I mean, we have a package that we call the essentials package that comes with two dancers. And that is because if you did nothing else, that is something that you do need for a successful event.
Absolutely.
It'd be like taking away the frying pan from a kitchen. Like, we need that stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next topic. What do you have?
One that I really like is trick or treat candle lighting.
I'm going to say a treat most of the time. I'm going to say treat actually all the time. For a photo purpose, especially, it's an opportunity to grab all of the group photos. Let's face it, you want to enjoy your cocktail hour. And often guests don't arrive early for group photos, even when you ask them to. So the candle lighting is a perfect opportunity to have these group photos take place. And why not make it better by having the guest of honor really explain why that person is so important in their life? It's more meaningful than just a photographer saying, "Hey, I need all the aunts and uncles together." It's definitely more meaningful.
It's a good change of pace, especially when you run a really high energy dance party. It is great for organizing group photos that you otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity to do. And let's face it, it's really hard to have 40 minutes of dancing with nothing breaking up the action. So I think that a candle lighting is a good use of time. And we're seeing that you don't need to do 13 candles as it's been more traditional. You could do 4 candles. You could do 8 candles. You can do 11 candles. There's no right or wrong way to do it. And I think that it's important for the families that we work with to realize that you don't need to invite every single person you've ever known to do it. You could keep it brief.
Dylan, I'm going to give you the next one. And I'm piggybacking off of what you had just said, but trick or treat, nonstop dance party. The family that says, "We love to party. We're going to dance the whole time. We don't want to take breaks. Don't announce the food. We're doing a buffet or stations and it's just going to be out the whole time. And we're not doing candle lighting. We don't want a grand entrance. We just want to dance the whole time."
I think it's a tall order. I think that is a very tricky situation. Very few entertainment companies can navigate a 4-hour dance party, let alone a 5-hour dance party with nonstop, because it is so hard when you leave it to be organized chaos. You need natural breaks in the action. You need natural ebbs and flows. And I think that it's important to build them in. It doesn't happen by accident. So by having natural breaks in the action, it gives you the reset that you need. So it's a very tricky situation if not done with deliberate intent. I think that you really need to plan in changes of pace, changes of action. There's a really high-end event planner that I remember talking to maybe 10 years ago when I first really started doing this stuff well. And he said, "I like to make a dynamic change every 40 minutes because that keeps the attention on what's happening, whether it be an awesome food station that just opened, a change of lighting, a change of scenery, a change of room. I like seeing something happen every 40 minutes because otherwise it becomes mundane." So if you're going to come at it from a perspective of, "We want a nonstop dance party the whole time," it doesn't happen by accident. And if you aren't willing to builds in the natural progression of your event, I think it's a trick.
Agreed.
Okay. Let's see here. Trick or treat, building a request list.
It is a treat on both ends, meaning it's a treat for the DJ to get valuable information from the family. You know, our DJs are great, but they're not mind readers. So if a family did not like Bruno Mars, which would be a weird thing in today's day and age, but like we would not have known them, there's a good chance we would have played a Bruno song. So a family needs to tell us what to play and what not to play. I think it's a treat for the family to also dig deep a little bit and express their interests. So I definitely think it is a treat for our family to be able to provide it, and it's a treat for us to receive it. The only trick in it is don't get wrapped up in it. Like, don't be the family that micromanages and says, here's 300 songs I do want, and here's 100 things I don't want, and I want certain songs in the first hour and certain songs in the second hour, because it's just too hard to predict and you're going to drive yourself crazy.
That's right. I think that's really important for the kid, the guest of honor, to build a request list, because music is so fast moving that just in the 7 days before your event, there could be a new hit song that comes out for that group of friends. And if they don't deliberately say it in their forms, we probably don't have it. I mean, the trends move so fast that I learned this week of a new song, like a brand new song, just on my Sunday event, like from Saturday to Sunday. That's how quickly it moves. So I think it's really important for the guests of honor to build a request list. Because like you said, we're not mind readers, and it allows us to be more prepared. And the more prepared we are, the better off we are.
Can I ask you, though, how much input do you want from the kid? Because like, let's say it's a bar mitzvah boy that loves hip hop, and he gives you like nothing but 40 hip hop songs that are, you know, what we call mumble rap. It's very slow. It's, you know, the kids know it. They really stream along. But
I think the sweet spot for a total event request list is 40 songs or less. And that could be from any perspective. So if you want to split it right down the middle, 20 from the adult perspective, 20 from the kid perspective. If you're going to give me 30 from the kid perspective and 10 from the adult, that's fine. You can give me 10 artists and 30 songs. I think that if you can give me 40 individual articles, it gives me a really good taste of what your flavors are going to be for that night.
Good. Fair enough. Good answer.
Keeping on that same topic, trick or treat, Mike, planning forms in general and getting them done, and what and like, what are your thoughts on that?
it is a treat when we get them on time, early, and thorough. That's been a big topic of conversation here. I actually think that our whole next podcast episode should be on, you know, almost us venting. I hate to say it that way, but when we don't get the information we ask for. So the treat is families, regardless of what vendor you're working with, caterer, photographer, entertainment company, these vendors need information from you. Just as we said before, we're not mind readers. So fill out these forms that are given to you, because they're designed for the success of your party. The treat is when we get them in a timely manner, they're thorough, we could review them with you and really get a better understanding of your expectations. It's very hard to do a party without the forms. You know, some families take an easy way out and they write DJ's choice next to all the songs for the candle lighting. We could take a good stab at it, but we don't know the personal preferences or styles of
those people. Can I give you my favorite example? Can I give you my favorite example of that? This had to have been in like my first 2 years of doing bar and bat mitzvahs. Like, it was so early on. And DJ choice was written for every single candle. And the DJ that I was training under at the time played a song, Get On Your Feet. And it was for grandma in a wheelchair. And he didn't know. He just picked a lively song. And I remember feeling like secondhand embarrassed for that, because we just didn't know.
That, And look, even though it says DJ's choice, like we're still planning it in advance. Or like we have to prep our music in advance for things like candlelighting that happen quickly. So when the guest of honor says candle number three is for my grandmother from Florida, come light this candle, the DJ has to be ready. So at the click of a button, he's got that song queued up. And he didn't see in the corner of his eye that grandma was in a wheelchair.
Right. This is back in the days of CDs too. Like he had it like burned on a separate, like it wasn't easy. So the point is that like, and not only that, but you, while we want you to feel like you are the only event that we're working on, we're not. I mean, we're coordinating, you know, 10 events a weekend in some cases. And the DJ that is on your event, you might be one of four events starting on Thursday for him. He wants to prep that music well in advance so that he's ready and excited and thorough for you. So I think that it's a real treat when we get the forms incorrectly, and it gives us a more personalized approach for your event. Otherwise, we're going to run a great party, but it's going to be a guessing game.
Yeah. Dylan, we've been talking a lot about music today, and that's good because that's actually the base of what we do. I want to talk about the inclusion of Israeli music. Aside from, you know, what's going on in this world right now, I think we've been including more and more Israeli music in the last year or two than I could ever remember. And trick or treat, in your opinion?
I think it's a treat. I think that it's fun music. Like, as a whole, I think that Israeli dance music is really fun. It kind of, like, bridges a gap between, like, 90s dance music and, like, house music today. Based on its style, like that's just the way that it's built. So I think that like adults and kids alike really like it. I think that camps, most of the sleepaway camps use these songs during their canteen or their color wars or their, you know, Shabbat services. So I think that by including it, you add a layer and dynamic to your event that is different and fun. The same way that you include Spanish music sometimes. I think this is a good treat for your event.
I also think it's a real homage to what a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah is about. You know, it's not just about the party. You know, it does have a very significant meaning, and including the right music, I think, is super important.
Yeah. What else we got here, Mike? Let's do a few more here. We got time for a few more.
I'm going to say backyard parties, and I don't mean like the small little, I'm going to have some friends over the backyard party, but is doing a backyard party, planning a backyard party of the right scale, upscale, you know, is it a trick or is it a treat?
I think I have the unpopular opinion that it is a trick. I think that there's so many layers that you don't think about that have to happen. Like, for example, leveling your lawn. Or like lawn care in general typically wouldn't be something that you have to remember, but it's a big part of it. How about parking? So there's a lot of like little hidden elements to planning an event at your house that I just think add a whole nother layer of stress that you don't need. You have enough stress on your plate. I think go to the professionals, do a proper banquet facility, and I think that you're going to be much better off. You might pay a more upfront dollar, but I think that it just does so much more for you.
I think in the long run, it saves you a lot of money actually using a traditional venue. And when you could check in and check out of a traditional venue in 12 hours, we'll call it, a backyard party is weeks of setting up, preparing, doing, and then the aftermath.
They got to clean it up.
The aftermath is the cleanup. Any yard maintenance that happens afterwards, things get destroyed. Yeah.
Yep.
Agreed.
Trick or treat, Mike. Surprises for your guest of honor.
I think
can you give an example?
One or two surprises. If you're talking about like a celebrity showing up, talking about a impromptu performance, I think one big impromptu surprise is an absolute treat.
Now, is it ever a good idea to not tell your vendors that this is happening?
Of course not. You pose the question for the guests. I think for the guests, it's an absolute treat. But I know that you recently had an event where you didn't know that something big was going to happen. And then it kind of derailed your timeline. So,
yeah, I mean, the timeline was thrown away. We had a former NFL player come in and it was wonderful. It was so great. I wish I had known. I would have planned it differently. I would have played the whole event differently, knowing this guy was coming.
Yeah.
Got any others? Because we're kind of up against the time clock here.
I'm going to give you one more, and it's cocktail hour in a separate room versus the same reception space.
Oh, it is a treat. I love having a separate cocktail hour. I think that your mentality of showing up and having a grand presentation of a room, that's so good. It changes the level and fun of the party. I think kids like it. I think the majority of like the destruction happens during cocktail hour. So you walk into a fresh room, and I think that's really special. I think having a separate cocktail hour for kids and adults when applicable is a real treat.
Let me give you a couple really quick fire ones now.
Okay.
The term bar mitzvah bouncer, security guy.
Treat. Absolute treat. You want to keep your guests safe and excited. And if you think you have troublemaker kids, don't make your entertainment company be the police officers. Wasn't supposed to be there for fun, not for discipline.
Okay. Lavish cocktail hour.
What does that mean to you?
Over the top food spread.
Treat. I think it's a treat, but make sure you have a proper amount of time for cocktail hour, a proper amount of servers for cocktail hour, and then make sure your food service is later in the night. Your timeline has to reflect it.
How about kids' presentations?
Trick. Everyone loves the individual that's there, but if you have presentations that go on forever and ever and ever, and they all say more or less the same thing, and they're all like inside joke builds, I don't think it adds much to the event. I'm so happy that your kid has friends that care so deeply about them. Let's find a different avenue than a public forum, because in most cases, it's a lot of rambling and it's a lot of the same thing. They're not trained public speakers. So for the most part, I'm going to say trick.
And if you do them, during cocktail hour, not during the party.
Yeah. And even then, I don't love it.
Okay. I had another one on the top of my head. Coke and Pepsi.
I think it's a treat. I like changing it up and doing Coke Pepsi. I especially like Coke Pepsi when I'm able to use it as a tool to get kids to eat, because they don't eat often. And when they do eat, they eat for like 17 seconds. So I can eliminate the kids from the Coke Pepsi contest to go to the stations. So there's not a massive line at the stations. There's always something happening. So I think it's a treat.
Trivia or Kahoot?
I like Kahoot because I can get adults involved in Kahoot pretty well. And I think that it's a more familiar product right now. So it's a treat.
Okay. The last one I have is, you know, some people call it tchotchkes, schlock, you know, the stuff that we give out, the hats, the glow sticks, the necklaces, sunglasses, trick or treat.
I think it's a treat, especially when you like don't do the real big crap ones. Like, make sure you ask your entertainment company, like, what are the things that you bring? Can you show me some photos? Because like plastic hats are terrible. Like they don't go far at all. These kids don't want that. But like the real fedoras and the big oversized chains, like they like that stuff. So I think it's fun. I think it's a treat.
All right. That's my quick fire. You have any other you want to call this a conclusion to episode 125?
I thought it was a great episode. I'm glad that it was timely enough. So let's call it a day.
Awesome. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Mastering Mitzvahs, we will be back. We will be doing this more often. It is busy season. We're cranking out events. And we're here to talk about it. And that's what this podcast is all about. Thank you for everyone who tunes in. Like it, share it, comment, and see you again soon.